Good evening. This is Life Rattle, the story show. I'm your host, John Dunford. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1213, we present four new stories, plus a little something extra from new Life Rattle writer Evangeline Torres Sled. Tonight's writer, Evangeline Torres Sled, was born in the Philippines in 1985. She was 5 years old when her dad moved the family to Canada to chase the Canadian dream. They settled in Etobicoke, Ontario, near Sled's grandparents and her uncle June. The family soon realized the dream was not so easily obtained. Her parents struggled to find employment, and even though her father possessed an engineering degree and her mother worked as a midwife in the Philippines, the family of four was forced to share a one-bedroom apartment. Sled learned to speak English and fell in love with writing. In grade one, she was given her first journal. In university, she majored in professional writing and communications. Evangeline Torres Sled currently pursues a career in writing. In her spare time, she enjoys the art of cooking, experimenting with spices, new greens, and meats, just the way her mother taught her. The stories you will hear tonight carry on the narrative began last Sunday, all from Sled's recently published collection, Three Tiny Prayers and a Princess. In her writing, Sled is unafraid to show herself, warts and all, and her stories are by turn funny, sad, courageous, heartbreaking, moving, inspiring, and especially honest. Tonight's featured stories focus on a loving but complicated relationship between a young woman, our narrator, and her father after he has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. In our first story, the stark reality of her father's illness penetrates every scene. Let's listen now as Evangeline Torres Sled reads her story, Peas, tonight on Life Rattle.
Peas, by Evangeline Torres Sled. What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know, Dad.
Dad shakes his head and runs his calloused fingers through what patch of black hair chemotherapy has left him with. Well, why are you only studying now, then? Dad stares at me with yellow jaundiced eyes. I'm sorry, Dad. I kinda skipped those classes.
But why?
Because I don't understand the math, Dad. Mr. McCarthy goes too fast. I don't tell him this, but actually, I skipped most of grade 10 and 11 because I don't give a shit about math. I'm lost. I know Dad's going to die, and frankly, I don't care how much a Ford truck depreciates by the time it leaves the parking lot. Okay then, Vanjeet, come here. Dad taps the chair beside him. I drag my slippers towards the chair and slowly slide my bum down the spine of the chair to the warm plush seat. Well then, we're going to study for it right now. Math is important. You need to know this. Pull your math book, some paper, and two pencils. I rummage through my knapsack and hold out the math book, a pack of Hilroy lined paper, and two pencils. Dad flips to the first chapter of the book. He begins to read the question, pauses, grabs the pencil, and scribbles numbers on the paper. I stare at Dad's furrowed eyebrows and bony fingers. Okay, do you see what happened here? Why the price drops by so much?
No.
Okay, imagine those pair of Ralph Lauren jeans you bought for $100. As soon as you bring those pants home, they are no longer worth $100. Why is that?
Because it's used?
Exactly. It's no longer fresh off the store shelves. It's close to the same idea as the moment a car leaves the parking lot, it drops in price. I rush out of the Queen subway station, up the stairs, and race towards the swinging doors of St. Michael's Hospital on Queen and Victoria. I step off the elevator at the fourth floor, look into my purse, and put my Nokia cell phone into silent mode. My nose curls at the smell of medicine, toilets, and sickness. Dad sits upright on his mechanical bed with an IV stuck to his vein. Yellow liquid trickles through the thin, tiny, clear tube. Hey, Dad. Vanjie. I passed. Dad sticks up his thumb and smiles. I rush towards him and hurl my body onto a skeletal frame. Dad coughs and groans and threads his fingers through my hair. I'm so proud of you, Vanjie. I knew you could do it. You're smart, just lazy. I laugh in between tears. I wouldn't have passed without you, Dad. You're the one who stayed up with me until 9 the next morning to teach me. I cry harder. I recall the mornings my father would mess up my hair, hold a spoon full of rice and barbecued tamarind chicken, and tell me to wake up and eat. Even at 17, I rely on my dad's good morning wake-up feeds. Dad's doctor interrupts my thoughts. Good afternoon, Val. How do you feel today? Dad flexes his free arm and grins. Strong, like Rocky. My daughter Evangeline passed her math exam today. She's going to be a lawyer one day. Dr. Juba focuses her eyes my way and smiles. Congratulations, Evangeline. Thanks. I wipe my tears with the white sleeves of my dress shirt. Evangeline is my youngest daughter. She looks like me. Dr. Juba giggles and then snorts. A little, but she's better looking. Dad fastens an upside-down smile and pretends to be upset. Then he places his free hand beneath his chin and smiles. His eyes twinkle. Okay, I'll be back to see you before I leave. Let me know if you need any refills on your pain medication before you go home tomorrow, Dr. Juba says. Thanks, Doc. I will. Dr. Juba smiles at me and clicks her black heels through the archway and down the corridor. Dad, you didn't have to say that. She couldn't care less what I did. Vanjie, I'm proud of you. Never forget that. Even after I'm gone, I want you to... I cut Dad off. Don't talk like that. This chemo is gonna work. Who else is gonna wake me up in the morning and teach me math? Vanjie, if it doesn't work, I want you to take care of your mom and sister. Help your mom. Don't fight. I wasn't good to her. Dad sucks in his breath between sentences. I was no good. Your nanai. I loved her even before she knew me. Did you know when we were in high school, I used to mark the test papers, and when I got hers, I would erase her mistakes, write the correct ones, and then give her perfect. Dad giggles and looks out the window. Your nanai, she gave up so much, and I take so much. She's good. Love your ate. Love your nanai. Dinner. Time to eat, Belle. An olive-toned woman in blue scrubs carries a tray of steamed peas and carrots, steamed chicken, and orange jello. Okay, Dad, I will. Now eat. Did you eat yet? No. I'll stop by the Eaton Center and grab some Shanghai noodles at the food court. Dad pushes his tray towards me. Here, eat. No, this is your food. You need to get strong to go home. Dad looks down at his bony arms and legs and fat belly. I don't need to eat. Look at my belly. I'm already fat. Now eat. I stare at my dad's enlarged stomach, a stomach full of tumors. Okay, Dad, I'll have some. I scoop some peas and carrots into my mouth and tear a piece of chicken flesh off the thigh and stuff it down my mouth. Dad smiles and watches me eat. I swallow the piece of chicken, then scoop some more piece and hold it in front of Dad's lips. Kay, your turn. Dad smiles and opens his chapped lips. I continue to feed myself and my dad until only the bones of the chicken leg are left. Thanks, Vanjie. Dad yawns and struggles to keep his eyelids from shutting. Kay, I'm tired. I'll be back after school tomorrow. Vanjie, you don't need to. Focus on your studies. I will. I'll do homework here. How's that? Okay, I love you, Vanjie. I love you too, Dad. I kiss his forehead and stare into Dad's eyes, once the color of chocolate, now speckled with blue from the chemo. Bye. I pull on the handlebar and let the door close behind me. I walk back to the door, stand on my tippy toes, and peek through the window. Dad clutches his stomach and barfs out the chicken, peas, carrots, and orange jello.
That was Evangeline Torres-Sled reading her story, Peas. In tonight's second story, we witness extraordinary spirit and determination as our narrator's father refuses to go gently into that good night. Let's listen now as Evangeline Torres-Sled reads Funny Day.
Funny Day by Evangeline Torres-Sled. Dr. Duba looks down at her chart with my father's name at the top of the white sheet of paper. Val, the chemo didn't work. You have 6 months left to live, if that. Dad bobs his head and wraps his bony arms around Dr. Duba. Thank you. With that, he drops his arms to his side, pivots his feet to face me, and smiles. When Dad and I come home that night, he takes Mom's hand in his, and they disappear into their bedroom upstairs. I expect a night of tears. The four of us spread out on the couch crying, hating life, hating my dad's stupid cancer. Mom and Dad don't emerge from their room all night. My sister turns to Casey, her boyfriend, and I cry to Sushi, my best friend, on the back stairs of our townhouse. It's okay, Torres. Tito Val is strong. They are probably wrong. You know him. Tito Val is going to be okay. I cry on Sushi's shoulder until my lips are red and swollen. Sushi just sits there and supports my 114-pound body against her 80-pound frame. She stops talking and runs her fingers through my hair. I imagine never laughing again, or ever finding a simple reason to smile. Dad wakes up in the morning, before Mom even turns on the stove. His hair is shiny and black, shampooed and conditioned in Pantene Pro-V, and dried and perfectly combed over to the side. I catch a whiff of his Old Spice deodorant and Mountain Air Spring soap that Mom purchases every time it goes on sale at Zeller's. Dad's Vaseline-lathered skin glistens against his white, wrinkle-free Ralph Lauren dress shirt, neatly tucked into the hem of his Dockers khaki pants. His brown socks match his freshly scrubbed and polished Clark shoes. Strapped across Dad's narrow chest is his brown calfskin leather man purse. I free the boogers from my eyes and fart. Dad, where are you going? I look up at Tito Toto's ticking hand-me-down clock and see it's only 7:15. Dad flashes his perfectly white, perfectly straight $700 dentures and smiles. Hi, Vanji. I have a big day today. I have so many things to plan and do. Dr. Juba said my dad had 6 months left to live. Why the hell is he so happy?
Like what, Dad?
Well, can you teach me how to use the computer? The internet thing first?
Okay.
We walk to the living room. I slide down the spine of the chair and sit in front of the computer. Dad rests his hand on the back of my chair. I wake my computer from hibernation and open up an Internet Explorer page.
Okay, Dad, what do you want to look up?
Funeral homes in Toronto.
What?
Funeral homes in Toronto.
Why are you looking that up for?
I need to, Vanji. I don't want your nanny to have to do that. I'm going to die, so I'm going to plan my party.
Dad laughs, leans forward, and pinches my cheek.
It's okay, Vanji. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, just great.
Vanji, it'll be just like shopping at the Eaton Center. Instead, I'll be funeral home shopping and picking out my new bed.
Oh my God, Dad. How can you laugh about it?
I'm done crying. I'm done being sick. I want to control how I die. Maybe I'll even donate my liver to the hospital.
Yeah, right, Val, my mom interjects.
They won't want your liver. You can't even make bulbous stew with that.
Mom laughs and pads her feet towards us.
Del, I think my liver would probably be yummy.
Spicy with a bit of tang.
Mom curls her lips and sticks her tongue out. Gross. I stare at my parents, who smile and laugh and tease each other about tumors and livers and death. I type funeral homes in Toronto. There are 364,000 hits.
Okay, Dad, here. Just click on the link and they'll show you the address and stuff.
Thanks, Vanji. I hop out of my chair, run up the stairs, and escape to my bedroom.
Vanji, come eat before school. Vanji.
Okay, Mom, coming. I run down the stairs and drag my feet to the kitchen table. In front of me is a plate of rice and fried chicken. I hear Dad clomp his feet on the linoleum floor and stop in front of my mom, sister, and me.
Okay, I'll be back. Have fun at school, guys.
Dad adjusts his man purse, unlocks the door, turns his head to look back at us and grins.
Nana, you know what he's doing, right?
Yeah, Vanji, it's okay. He wants to, and he's gonna go back to the Philippines for a while. Just to say bye to his friends, while he's still strong.
But, Vanji, no.
Your dad wants to do this, so let him.
Dad walks through our purple entrance door, removes his clerks, and pads his sock feet down the hall to the living room.
Check, check, and check. I got stuck between mahogany, oak, and pine, and went all out and went with mahogany. I even got a 2-for-1 deal and bought a double plot instead of a single, so your nanay and I can be together forever.
Tatay wraps his arm around my mom's chubby shoulders and kisses the top of her head.
Mom squeaks and groans. See here, look. Dad unsnaps the lips of his man purse and pulls out photographs of Ridley's funeral home, his shiny mahogany casket, and the 2-for-1 plot.
That was Evangeline Torres-Sled reading her story, Funny Day. In a poignant series of vignettes, our next story follows the narrator's parents as they celebrate their love for each other through the renewal of their wedding vows, this time in a church. Let's listen now as Evangeline Torres-Sled reads Porkchop I Do's.
Pork Chop I Do's by Evangeline Torres Sled. Mom never screams. Mom never cries. Mom never asks for things. Each morning, before my dad, sister, or I wake up, Mom is already awake with a spatula in her hand, flipping pork chops as the red light on our cooker turns green, indicating the rice is done. It's ready. Wake up. Wake up. Kain na. Let's eat. My sister runs from the computer room to the kitchen. I run through my bedroom, down the stairs, to the welcome smell of hot grease and sweet jasmine rice. I grab a plate from the cupboard and line up behind my sister to wait my turn. I stare at the row of crispy fried pork chops, waiting to be bitten, chewed, and swallowed. Mom flips a pork chop onto her plate, grabs a cup full of rice, and adds a ramekin filled with a mixture of vinegar, crushed garlic, and salt and pepper. She places a spoon and a fork on the plate and walks past us to Dad on the green leather couch. These days, Dad is too tired to go up and down the stairs or to leave the house or even to get up off the couch. With a family of three girls, he opts to stay on the couch. Mom plants her perky 49-year-old butt on the couch beside Dad. Mom smiles and hands Dad his plate. Eat. You're too skinny. You're making me look the butt. Fat. Mom is our happy, chubby mom. Her smile comes from her ample belly that reaches up to her heart and shines through her wide grin. Today, her smile is forced. Mom, a one-time happy fat mom, is these days an unhappy, skinnier mom. Thanks, Delia, Dad whispers. Talking pains him. Planning his funeral and making one last trip to the Philippines took most of Dad's newfound strength away. I watch Dad wilt from a happy fat dad to a dying skinny dad. Mom watches Dad ignore the spoon and fork and clutch the crispy fried pork chop in his hand. He bites off a small chunk and places the pork down. Mom grabs the spoon and feeds Dad a tablespoon of white rice. She feeds him the remainder of the pork and rice. Val, you have to get strong. You promise. You have to get strong for today. Today, Mom and Dad are going to say their vows for the first time inside a church. Their first marriage vows to each other were before a judge. Mom always wanted a church wedding. She wakes up each morning and goes to church and ends each evening by reading the Bible and saying a prayer. Even though God is taking away her husband, my dad, Mom finds a way to believe. Dad runs his fingers down Mom's pink puffy cheeks and smiles. Mahal kita, I love you, he whispers. I document each second of the day. I go back and forth and zoom from room to room with my Panasonic camcorder. I watch Uncle June button Dad's dress shirt. He helps Dad into his black suit jacket. He pauses, buttoning midway at Dad's stomach where the tumors lie. Tiny tears escape the corners of Uncle June's eyes. Uncle June is Dad's baby brother. Dad places his arms around his brother. I zoom out and close the door. Ati blushes Mom's cheeks with pink glimmer powder. Mom didn't really need it because her cheeks are still stained with fresh tears, giving them a natural glow. Mom is all garbed in white. Layers of white satin and lace trace the contours of her gentle 5'2" body.
She smiles at me. She smiles at the camera. She smiles today. I plant a kiss on her cheek. Zoom out and close the bedroom door. In the church, I sit beside my sister, cousins, second cousins, and friends. Mom has 12 bridesmaids and Dad 12 groomsmen. Brown, blue, and gray eyes glisten as they watch Mom and Dad walk down the red aisle. Dad in black, bony and frail, looks down and holds my mom's pudgy hand. Mom looks back and smiles as tiny crystal tears squiggle down her cheeks. Gloria, Mom's friend, sings, "Ikaw lamang ang akin iibigin. You're the only one I'm going to love." I suck in my breath. I feel my lips swell and no longer care that my mascara is running. My nose is filled with liquid snot and my heart is filled with bittersweet pain. Do you, Valentine, take Delia to be your wife, in sickness and in health? Till death do you part? Dad grins, "I do." Deacon Bill pauses and chokes down his own tears. He is a regular visitor to our house. He prays with Mom and her friends for Dad to get better. And do you, Delia, take Valentine to be your husband, in sickness and in health? Till death do you part? Mom struggles between sniffling back her tears. I do. My camcorder is back in my hands. I film the guests downstairs who laugh and eat, clean and wash, pray and cry. I climb a flight of stairs, turn left, and walk to my parents' room. With the door ajar, I zoom in and record. Dad drapes his arm around Mom. Mom rests her head on Dad's shoulder. Both sets of brown eyes are closed, and tears run down their faces. Dad's long, bony legs and Mom's short, stubby legs hang over their pink floral print bed. I zoom out and shut off the camcorder.
That was Evangeline Torres Sled reading her story, Pork Chop I Do's. Tonight's final story, gut-wrenching in its intensity, completes this series. With incredible strength and courage, Sled shares a heartbreak that most of us will face, the loss of a father, her beloved Valentino. Let's listen now as Evangeline Torres Sled reads Whopper Goodbyes, followed by the third of her three tiny prayers.
Whopper Goodbyes by Evangeline Torres Sled. Gabe, stop that. Gabe tickles my neck, my tender spot. Stop it, please. I giggle and smack him on the head. Quack, quack, quack. Eve, your phone. Gabe throws my Nokia onto my lap. I answer. Vanji, where are you? I pause and stare at Gabe watching me. I'm at my boyfriend's house. Why? What's up, Ati Cherry? I've been trying to reach you. Come to the hospital. Now. Shit. The Queen subway doors in need of grease screech open. Ding, dong, ding. I climb a flight of slushy, snow-filled stairs. I push past shoppers, nurses, and men in suits. I fight for space. I bump into a scrunch-faced lady swinging two Pennington bags. I spot Ati Cherry in a black wool coat, black bootleg jeans, black patent heels. She leans against the glass windows of St. Michael's. Ati Cherry, she opens her red lips and tugs the cigarette out of her mouth. and flicks it onto the slush. Vanjeet, crisp February winds turn my cousin's pale cheeks bubblegum pink. What happened? What's wrong? It's your dad. I feel Auntie Cherry wrap her arms around my shoulders, feel her chest rise and fall, feel her breath against my frigid cheeks. A homeless man rummages for leftovers in a garbage can beside me. Auntie Cherry drops her arms, yanks on my hand, and pushes me through the censor doors. A lady with salt and pepper tight curls, a purple button-up silk blouse, an ankle-length gray skirt, smiles and says hello. How can I help you? I stare at her thin, pink lips and wish this small, gentle lady was my fairy godmother instead of a hospital greeter. Hi, can you make my dad get better? I hear myself ask in my head. My fairy godmother would then answer, "Why, yes, dear, I'm your fairy godmother." With those four words, she sneezes three times, and tiny gold dust spills from her nose, falls on my dad's sleeping eyes, and takes away his cancer. Ding, dong, ding. Auntie Cherry yanks on my hand again, pushes me through the elevator doors, and punches the button. The elevator passes the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth floor. Ding, dong, ding. Auntie Cherry nudges me through the sliding metal doors. Starch white paint with gold dust speckles the ceiling, walls, and floor. Buzzers go off like the jackpot slots at a casino. Congratulations, you win. Congratulations, your dad's all better. Palliative care. Mom called me from Dad's hospital room and told me they had placed him in palliative care. What does that mean? I asked. They give him lots of drugs. He's gonna be there until it works. That's great, I thought. I like drugs. Drugs make my father scream less. I have a full night's rest when he takes more than one codeine pill. Auntie Cherry pauses in front of room 601. I peek through the 8x11 glass window. I see all of them. Auntie Magda, Auntie Nona, Dita Babes, Paul, Casey, Ate, and Mom. Dad sits upright in the middle of the room and rests his back against the adjustable bed. Fluorescent lights beam down, causing Dad's chemo-burnt jaundiced skin to glow. Auntie Cherry pushes the door open. Dad's brown eyes, now with sparks of blue from several months of chemo, wander off to stare at my brown eyes. A Filipino nurse in blue fidgets on her heels. Dr. Juba monitors my dad's ragged neon green heartbeat line on a black screen. She turns and smiles at me. Vanji, Mom whispers. I stare at her wet freckles. Ate, my sister, clutches Dad's legs. My legs move and my arms push my mother's arms away. I greedily hang onto my dad's shoulders. I listen to the sound of my dad's silent stare. Dad opens his chapped lips. His yellow train track teeth pop out against his black, swollen gums. His tongue moves. His lips part open and close, but no words come out. Vanji, Auntie Magda says. Vanji, your tatay. He can't talk anymore. Auntie Magda pulls out a tissue. and wipes her moist red nose. Vanji, you should tell him goodbye now.
No. 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 Not Dad. Not Daddy. Not my Dadai. I'm no longer the cool Canadian girl. Too cool to say Dadai. Dadai, please don't go.
He's okay. Vanji. He told us he's happy, says Auntie Magda. He even found the strength to get up and pee on his own. He even asked the nurse for some lotion and a comb. He's happy.
I stare at my Tatay's perfect comb over, his signature trait. His hair, oh his hair, each black strand threatened with gel if it did not behave. During his cancer-free days, Dad never left the house without slathering his tanned skin with Johnson's baby oil, pressed Dockers pants, and crisp white golf shirt.
What the hell are you talking about? Why did you wait so long?
I struggle between sentences. Why didn't you pull me out of class?
He knew you had a math test. We tried afterward, but you didn't answer your phone, answers Auntie Magda.
After my math test, I went over to Gabe's house, my boyfriend of 3 years. I hadn't seen him all week. Gabe and I had a fight when I didn't finish his Of Mice and Men essay on time, and he failed. I figured I could stop by and see him for an hour, and hop on the subway and see Tatay afterward. Auntie Magda opens her lips.
Vanji, you should say your goodbyes now.
Tatay, my Tatay, please say something. Tatay stares at me. Tiny drops of tears spill from his face. Big globs of tears stream out of mine. I open my lips and scream.
You guys should have pulled me out of school. You guys should have told me. Why did you wait so long?
Vanji, we tried.
Tatay opens his mouth. Nothing comes out. No goodbye. No I love you. Nothing.
Tatay's chest rises and falls. His eyes close. The green squiggly lines on the monitor go straight. The monitor beeps. The Filipino nurse stands still. Dr. Juba stands still. Mom wails. Ate wails. Auntie Magda drops her head onto Tito Romy's shoulder.
Do something. Save him. Give him CPR. Don't just stand there and watch him die. Save him.
Dr. Juba stays still. The nurse stays still. Auntie Magda opens her mouth.
Vanji, your dad didn't want to be revived.
You're wrong. He needs CPR. Give it to him now.
I pound on my dad's chest and scream. I hate you, Dr. Juba. You're a waste. All you can do is just stand there and watch him die. How can you call yourself a doctor?
Tatay. Tatay. My Tatay. Please don't go. Tatay, gising na. Wake up.
You're just kidding now.
You're just playing dead,
as you always do. It's not funny anymore. Just wake up, and I'll bring you a Whopper.
Prayer 3 by Evangeline Torres-Sled. Dear Lord, Dad's gone, my sister's sick, and Mom's all alone, but I believe in you again. Even though I didn't get to say goodbye, you made Dad's screams go away. I believe in you again. Now I need you once more. I have no home. You tell me to stay strong, but this is too much. I hope you're doing all this for a reason. Amen. P.S. May my dad's soul rest in peace. Take care of my mom and sister and Graham. And I'm sorry for my sins. Thank you.
That was Evangeline Torres-Sled reading her story, Whopper Goodbyes and Prayer 3. Thank you, Evangeline. You remind us what it means to be human. That concludes Life Rattle number 1213. My name is John Dunford. Lori Callis recorded Evangeline reading her stories. Life Rattle was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman. Tune into Life Rattle next Sunday night at 9 to hear new stories by new writer Leah Jones.